Hello, my name is Matt, and welcome again to the Bearer of Weird News. This is going to be a little bit different, as social isolation has forced me into a location where I do not have my video camera, nor my green screen. So I'll just be doing this to you from a fully audio capacity. Now, I figured we might start off with some non-coronavirus news before diving into the only thing that news outlets are talking about these days. The incident. The way the news is going, you'd think that corruption had completely stopped in the face of this pandemic. I mean, it certainly hasn't. It just has to be done via WhatsApp now. We're going to have more than an economic and health deficit to catch up on post the incident. Imagine how angry people are going to be when they, after discovering that they are perfectly capable of doing their job from home, even the Christmas party, then have to drag themselves back into the office and smell the microwaved fish of inconsiderate behaviour that is corporate culture, not to mention having to return to riding the train after tasting the sweet, sweet freedom of remote working, and on top of that, we will have a whole back catalogue of corruption to catch up on. But, sorry, I digress. I did promise a reprieve. I've already begun the back catalogue of corruption. It's already begun. In authoritarian overreach news, TikTok censors the ugly and the poor. Yes, TikTok, the Chinese-owned video sharing app, has had internal documents leaked which informed moderators to suppress posts created by users deemed too ugly, poor, or disabled for the platform. Effectively speeding up the process of regular television, because the internet is nothing if not efficient at bringing out the worst in humans. These same documents show moderators were also told to censor political speech in TikTok live streams, punishing those who harmed national honor or broadcast streams about state organs such as police, with bans from the platform. Now, to be fair, if Chinese dissidents want their political messages spread to wide audiences by someone with broad appeal, there are plenty of out-of-work actors who, at the moment, will be looking to collect payment via Cameo as the world's economy falls apart and we find out simultaneously how little we need the performing arts and also how desperately we need the performing arts. With people going so far as taking the desperate measures of talking to their neighbours in order for some semblance of human contact. Some of the criteria for having your video suppressed include videos showing rural poverty, slums, beer bellies, and crooked smiles. One document goes so far as to instruct moderators to scan uploads for cracked walls or disreputable decorations. Presumably, this was a veiled reference to people leaving holiday decorations up way past the acceptable deadline. If you are still using your Christmas lights in April, you will be cancelled by TikTok. And generally, I am very anti-mass government suppression. Call me soft-hearted if you must. But if you can't do the simple act of paying attention to the national calendar, then you have much bigger worries and possibly are even a time traveller, which means you violate the current Chinese law against time travel anyway. So you've been caught, buddy. Now, this is no choice for a video platform that not only allowed the live streaming of a suicide on its platform, but then took an hour to shut down the broadcast and a further 3 hours to report it to the police so that it could get its story straight, put together a press release it never intended to release, and immediately began putting a public relations strategy in place to ensure that what had occurred would never make headlines. You know, like an evil corporation in a movie about uncaring corporations, except that that movie would get panned for being a little too ham-fisted with its analogy and probably lose a star in its rating because of it. Or perhaps some sort of corporate embodiment of BoJack Horseman and his covering up of the death of Sarah Lynn. Oh, spoiler alert, by the way. If only the poor child who had committed suicide had been ugly or had had a beer belly, they would have suppressed that straight away. Under this policy, TikTok moderators were explicitly told to suppress uploads from users with flaws both congenital and inevitable, such as abnormal body shape, ugly facial looks, dwarfism, obvious beer belly, too many wrinkles, eye disorders, and many other low-quality traits were all enough to keep uploads suppressed. The justification given was, again, that TikTok should retain its aspirational air to attract and hold onto new users, meaning the creators of TikTok have yet to see the wild success of reality TV and its whole modern carnival of freaks vibe that it has going on. People come by to stare at the fools who willingly put themselves on the air for a chance to be a host of a late night game show like Hot Dogs. Who is more inspirational than Hot Dogs? They said this kind of environment is not that suitable for new users for being less fancy and appealing. Social startups are often eager to build their momentum early on, and they consider user retention to be their top priority. But rarely is the public given access to the details of this nakedly aggressive expansion. And given that TikTok, an app that I have never used, and from what I can tell is exclusively used to generate dance routines, or mouth along to an audio equivalent of a meme, or, as I will be thinking of them, memes. A joke that I enjoy, and so will be staying in the final script, no matter what everybody else says. And which the target demographic of is Generation Z, a generation so woke that they tell presidents of countries to do a better job or fuck off. And despite their penchant for do-goodery, might actually bring back public guillotining of kings, queens, dictators, autocrats, and the next person to attempt a gritty reboot of a nostalgic childhood property. Because the internet is about to crash due to governmental greed and lack of foresight in this post-virus apocalyptic landscape, and entertainment options will be limited. Sorry, I said I wouldn't talk about the virus, but it creeps in everywhere, like some kind of virus. Moving on. Economic crisis news now. Non-essential services is the new buzz term, as employees all over the country are finding out just how important their job really is, with all jobs deemed non-essential being closed. With public transport being exempt, frontline service staff in supermarkets, hospitals, fast food, which is currently at takeaway only, and hairdressers being left open despite the job literally being impossible to do from the recommended 2 meters away unless you have the world's biggest mullet. Many solutions to the looming economic crisis have been floated and are in the process of being trialed. 3 different stimulus packages have been approved. Businesses are being propped up for a Yogi Bear style hibernation, with the majority of the largest stimulus package ever approved by the Australian government being rolled out mostly to businesses, who are then being told by the coalition that it would be un-Australian to leave your fellow Aussies in need in a time of crisis, going on to say that we will leave those deaths for the inevitable future Labor government. That'll really fuck them. This is going to be the gun reform of the new decade for the Liberal Party. A useful tool that they can point to when they want to say, see, we aren't complete cartoon villains. No wonder they need the hairdressers open. Somebody has to trim down those dick dastardly mustaches. It's basically impossible not to touch your face with one of those. Morrison has also opened up about the possibility of people accessing their superannuation to get them through these hard times ahead. Millennials and Gen Z are relieved, as all the money that they're able to put away from working 3 casual jobs, as well as the side hustle that they've cobbled together in their precious little spare time, is finally paying off dividends, Good thing the gig economy is just so supportive and willing to provide basic benefits like sick pay or super. But despite this call to patriotic arms, the trickle-down model has not managed to sustain large portions of the workforce, with maybe a million stood down, fired, or seen to be behaving in such un-Australian manners as going to the beach, attempting to barbecue with neighbours, and getting fired. The government services minister and unnecessarily gleeful man telling you to bend over and cough, Stuart Robert, who is responsible for Centrelink and the MyGov website, has been the public face and scapegoat for the government's failure to adequately provide services for the un- and underemployed, initially blaming the inability to access the MyGov website on a significant distributed denial of service attack, which doesn't, as I initially assumed, mean that the government is committing an act of class warfare by significantly distributing a denial of essential services, which would just be business as usual for the coalition government. If in the coming months, my real estate has trouble accessing my rent, it's not because of a failure on my behalf to provide adequate resources, it's because my bank account was hacked. Eventually, Robert was forced to admit nobody was trying to attack the MyGov website except the coalition, who have waged war on the poor with years of stripping away the support originally put in place for Services Australia and refusing to raise the basic amount given to our unemployed brothers and sisters. And he had to admit that the government had actually not been adequately prepared. He expressed with the following well thought out and compassionate speech on 2GB.
I didn't think I'd have to prepare for 100,000 concurrent users. Again, my bad, not realising that the sheer scale of the decision on Sunday night by the national leaders that literally saw hundreds and hundreds of thousands, maybe a million people, unemployed overnight.
A true and heartfelt apology, one to be added to the annals of history, along with the classic apologies like, nobody is sorrier than me, mistakes were made, and I apologize if anyone was offended. But it is good to have a model on which I can measure my own mistakes against, as long as my actions didn't leave possibly up to a million freshly unemployed people without essential services, then a simple my bad will suffice. Social isolation news now. As the government cracked down on social isolation after people have been seen flaunting the social isolation rules by recreating the beach scene from the first Where's Wally book, angry stepdad just trying to make this thing work for everyone, and Prime Minister Scott Morrison said we needed to go to our rooms and think about what we did. That is, of course, unless you are recently jobless, or if for you, being a poor is a pre-existing condition. Then all you need to do is get on Centrelink for support. Oh, except the website keeps crashing. And the phone lines are jammed, so desperate people who are unsure how to navigate the purposely labyrinthine Centrelink system felt that their only hope was to stand in increasingly long queue lines with hundreds and thousands of recently unemployed, and hope that they don't end up meeting the minotaur that lives in the middle of the maze. Trevor, old Trev Dog, Trev Dog the Minotaur. These new people are hopefully learning for the first time that maybe everyone on the Centrelink queue isn't just a welfare queen trying to avoid having a real job or a YouTube vlogger. As they all attempt to recreate the page from the most recent Where's Wally book, Wally in Doll Bludgerland. With incredibly understaffed offices and overworked frontline staff facing swaths of angry paws who probably had to ride the portable germ factory, or as it's commonly known, the bus, just to be faced with longer queue lines than there are to find toilet paper, someone is going to snap. But why line up? Why not respect the social distancing rules, a 4x4 personal bubble of fear between each person, and go back online to suckle that sweet, sweet nectar of the government, services ambrosia. Look, just longer than the MyGov website and... Oh, it seems to be a problem. Oh, it seems like the website is down again. This just in. a group of cyber bullies looking to make cyber fools of the cyber government attempted to hack the website on the very day ordinary Australians, the battlers, the quiet Australians, needed it the most. Ugh, why now? Why did these hackers use their millennial hacking skills to hack the government, stopping them from learning from the 2016 failed online census attempt when we didn't account for the amount of people attempting to do a one-night-only snapshot of the country all at once? How could we have accounted for them? We hadn't taken the census yet, the figures were unknown. And we tend not to want to count many of our brothers and sisters across the country, be they Indigenous, refugees or Greens voters. And then the crafty hackers hacked our NBN, downgrading its capacity in an increasingly online entertainment-based world. Then they hacked our politicians, making them blame and chill's best friend, Netflix, asking that the streaming companies like Stan and Netflix reduce their broadband speeds to reduce the restrictions on the failing NBN. When really, we all know that the biggest drain on the broadband load right now is Pornhub. So why are they targeting Netflix? Netflix hasn't hurt anyone, or at least not anyone who didn't already work for Netflix, or who hasn't already watched and taken advice from that Goop lifestyle program that they're still shilling. But due to the website crashes and clogged phone lines, people have taken it upon themselves to line up in queues at Centrelink outlets, doing the latest social media trend, the Centrelink Challenge. While the confused crowds are seeking leadership and answers, Scott Morrison is seeking his own guidance, saying that his prayer knees are getting a good workout. And this explains a lot recently, actually, like the distinct lack of thought going on at the top level. These things are supposed to work in tandem. It's thoughts and prayers. Look, if we're only going to implement one, can we at least make it the thoughts part and not the prayers part? Fortunately, this is a worldwide epidemic, so the leadership Morrison seeks can be found by looking at other countries, seeing which responses are getting praise, waiting a few days, and copying those. So we're getting the distorted parallel universe version of Jacinda Ardern. Now, a lot of people are giving Morrison a hard time for copying the actions of Media Darling and living embodiment of government being greener on the other side, Ardern, as opposed to leading with original thoughts and ideas. But I gotta give it to him on this one. Like, I think he's doing the right thing for our country. We've seen him when he's left to his own devices. It involves him staying on vacation during a national crisis, blocking law reform to protect whistleblowers, then getting caught pork-barreling important electorates for the coalition, and recently asking landlords and tenants to work it out between themselves when it comes to the roughly million newly unemployed Australians. Fortunately for us, landlords are famously always the good guy in film and media, and have never threatened to evict anyone unjustly. It's actually my favourite genre of film, the relatable landlord. Morrison has continued to guide the nation with his choose-your-own-adventure-style method of governance.
Our kids are at home now, as are most kids, and Jenny went out yesterday and bought them a whole bunch of jigsaw puzzles. I can assure you, over the next few months, we're going to consider those jigsaw puzzles absolutely essential.
Well, it's good to see that we're using the tried and true method of allowing people to decide what is essential for them, a method that will no doubt work as citizens fulfilling their civic duty have recently been observed, taking only what they need from supermarkets, respecting staff who are working on the front line of a pandemic, and not going out in public unless absolutely necessary. Morrison has, however, been happy to make the hard decision that haircuts are entirely possible while social distancing, despite their historic close quarters nature, and that buying puzzles should still be considered essential, despite all Australians actually having access to the biggest puzzle in our modern time, the labyrinthine logic of the government in crisis. And we don't even need to leave the house to solve that puzzle. And finally, it's minimum wage news now. And as the coronavirus continues to decimate businesses at a rate only previously seen by independent businesses who try to sell products on Amazon, Amazon has started to crack down on businesses who are price gouging over hard-to-find items in the post-incident apocalypse. Jeff Bezos, was heard shouting, "Only Jeff Bezos may use Amazon to ruin the lives of the working class." Besides, Amazon prefers more of a wildly underselling your competitors model when it comes to ripping off your fellow man. Price gouging is gauche, and only the least sophisticated sellers resort to this outdated model. However, even in the face of heavy policing of online stores, Amazon is struggling to produce enough products to meet this newfound demand in this post-incident world. Isn't it weird how overtly and unsympathetically destroying all your competition so that you can have all of the money and then start a factory on the moon where you don't have to worry about pesky things like labor laws and human rights means your customers can't buy from somewhere else when you run out of a product, effectively bottlenecking the small country's GDP that you've accrued? Of course, we would shop somewhere else, but you gobbled up all the other shops, like Pac-Man, with a never-ending supply of those power pallets. To help meet the growing demand, Amazon have hired 100,000 new workers to help, which eventually means Amazon will have to fire 100,000 workers because the world is hospitable again, which puts Steve in the very awkward position of hoping that the virus hangs around long enough for him to learn some transferable skills, but not be so crammed into workplaces that he becomes infected by this very same virus. It's a very fine tightrope to walk. Look, on top of this, they are bumping up their employees' pay, temporarily, but only while the virus is causing havoc. And the only place that they can actually spend that extra money is ordering things through Amazon, because everything else is now closed. That extra $2 an hour might seem like a hollow gesture, but when you spend 16 to 18 hours a day working overtime to make up the back catalogue of delivery suddenly put through your system because of neoliberal capitalistic endeavours, then, you know, that $2 really starts to add up. But Amazon aren't the only tech giant to start to look at their employees as people, and not just a means by which to siphon extra money from the public. Tech disruptor and sinkhole disguised as a side hustle, Uber, is urging the White House and congressional leaders to include financial assistance for drivers and delivery workers in the economic stimulus package. The company is also advocating for legislation that would require it provide drivers with certain financial benefits while classifying them as independent contractors still. Because, like, they couldn't just do it themselves. That would be too much disruption. They are merely the disruptors. But who disrupts the disruptors? I'll tell you who. The coronavirus, the ultimate disruptor. You know what might have helped their drivers from the start? If they'd just given them a living wage with benefits to begin with. Then they might not have to pretend that they cared so much. Alright guys, thanks for hanging around, thanks for listening, thanks for enjoying, well, hopefully you enjoyed it, and we'll do this again. I could feel like this social isolation and social distancing will lead to me being able to put more of these out a little more often. So if you like them, share them. If you think someone will get something out of it in this time of loneliness and, you know, social distancing, please do share it with someone, anyone who you think will get something out of this. I'm just trying to create something to keep the people entertained. Look after yourselves. Please wash your hands. Stay indoors if you can. And good luck out there to all our frontline service workers. Thank you for your service.